Get your ears wrapped around the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast. All the scoop you need to know, from college basketball to the NBA and even March Madness. News of your rising stars, topics on and off the hardwood. This is the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast.
Welcome to the GSMC Basketball Podcast with your host, Ryan Holloway, presented on and by the GSMC Podcast Network that fills all your podcast needs, in case you didn't know that. How was your weekend? Was it uneventful because you got to spend a whole bunch of money on other people? Was it that? Did you guys get to watch any basketball? I hope so. If you didn't, that's fine. I'm going to cover all that for you. It won't be a problem at all. It really won't be. Let me tell you something that happened, though. This happened on my phone. And I was trying to get some information from my phone to, you know, do what I do, to disperse the great basketball knowledge that I have to y'all. I don't really know if it's great, if I'm getting it from somewhere else. It's shared. It's not plagiarized. It's shared. It's a collective of information that we all distribute upon each other as a people, as a society, as a staff, a record label, and a crew. So I'm trying to download this information, and I keep getting these advertisements on my phone, and I don't know why they started happening. They start popping up everywhere. Like, they keep popping up. They're pop-ups, and they take up the whole screen. I got to hit, like, an X. Some of them are silly advertisements. They trick me. Like, I push the button and then it's like, wait, I'm not in Maps. This is an advertisement that looks like a map. Like, what kind of witchery is this? Like, who would make an app that looks like a map and then have me all willy-nilly trapped inside of a map that isn't really even a map? I'm trying to get them off my phone. So, you know, I go ahead and just Google it. I mean, I do my research and ask the best person, the only person I would know how to fix this, who's Google. I mean, I ask Google for everything. I ask him or her, whatever you feel like Google is. I ask the medical advice. I ask some advice on recipes. I ask them how to get places. I mean, I feel like I trust Google pretty well. Can't trust everything Google says. Sometimes it's a liar. So I Google it, and then Google's like, oh, you got to download an app to get rid of the advertisements. And at first, I'm like, okay. I start looking through the app store, and I'm like, wait, whoa. Why do I need an application to remove advertisements from my phone? Like, I got to download an app. The phone doesn't already do something where it's like, hey, block ads, or hey, get rid of ads. The phone does all these other things. The phone already has apps installed that I can point the phone at someone that will capture a image of them forever. It's called a camera, but it sounds better if I say image forever. It has that already on the phone. Why do I have to download an app to tell my phone, hey phone, you shouldn't have to do this? Like, you know, like, this isn't, the phone isn't a person. Like, it's not like, yo, hey, this is what's up. You have a disease, right? And then, like, so we got to get your white blood cell count up. So we're going to give you some more cells. Here's some medication. No. This is a computer. It should be able to do that. Like, when they sold me this phone, it should have already had something to block the advertisements on it. You know what I mean? Like, why do I have to tell the phone, hey, I don't want ads? Why? What? This doesn't make any sense. That'd be like if the phone just was on silent when you bought it. Oh, you got to download the Ringer app. Why would I not want my phone to have a ringer? Oh, you got to download the app to make sure you want it to ring. I shouldn't have to tell the phone that I don't want ads on my phone. So, whatever, guys. I don't believe in downloading apps for everything. I think it's ridiculous. Anyway, that's how I feel about that. And yeah, I still have ads on my phone because I refuse to download an app to tell my phone something that it should already know. It's silly to me. So it seems like that the Kyrie app that the Celtics downloaded is working out great. They got this app. It's called Kyrie Irving, and they downloaded it, and now they're 23-5. The Celtics have been putting on, I'm going to say, an outstanding show. You got Kyrie putting up 20 buckets a game. You got the rookie Tatum giving them 14 buckets a game. You got Al Horford with a little 14 buckets a game as well. They're 23-5. They're first place in the East Division. Everything looks tip top. Like, it's looking really, really good. So my question is, like, while we're talking about this, I've always wondered, well, what happened to Gordon Hayward? Do you guys remember Gordon Hayward or no? Because it was a big deal. He was playing for the Jazz, and then suddenly he wasn't playing for the Jazz anymore. And then he wrote this open letter to how he's leaving Utah. And then he ended up on the Celtics at this big press conference. And the Celtics were, you know, basically, as a collective, they were going to be Thor of the NBA. That's what they were going to do. They were going to represent good and togetherness and unity. And they're just going to go through with their green hammer, just letting everybody have it. Well, Gordon Hayward got hurt, in case you guys didn't remember that. He had a disgusting injury. He fractured his tibia and dislocated his knee during the season opener. On the opener, right? On the October 17th. I don't even understand how you get hurt that bad on the opener, which is really bad, right? Because I think this was the problem. What should have happened when they made the NBA schedule, I don't know. They made the NBA schedule before the LeBron and before the, not the LeBron trade, before the Kyrie trade. And so the schedule's already made. They didn't know. They just made it that way because they wanted to have, you know, like a conference repeat. They wanted to open the season with the conference finals that we saw last year with Celtics versus Cavaliers. So they made the schedule that way. But when they did the Kyrie trade, I feel like they should have just pushed that game back to Christmas, just reorganized the schedule a little bit, which is probably very hard. But I feel like that game shouldn't have been played as an opener because it was just too much pressure. It was too much pressure. Everyone was tense. Regardless of if you want to act like it's a regular game or not, everybody was tense. I think there was too much tension in the air. What do they say? So much tension, you can cut it with a knife, with a butter knife, like. I don't know how tension can be that there's so much tension that it turns into matter and turns into butter. That's a lot of tension, right? So how do you even know you cut it? If you run a knife, I don't, whatever. So there was just a lot of going on. And then the way Gordon Hayward landed, he fractured his tibia and dislocated his ankle. It looked really gross. I don't know if you guys saw the Paul George injury when his whole leg, like just boop, boop, like when it went boop, boop, when it just went in like that. But Gordon Hayward's was like that, but it was like the ankle part, like boop boop. It looked like the only reason his foot was still on his leg is because of his socks or his tights or whatever. Like it looked gross. I didn't even want to see it. Like, I saw it once, and then I was like, oh, why did I see that? Because Twitter was like, hey, look at this, and I probably shouldn't have saw it, but I watched it anyway. So anyway, he got hurt really bad, and I was wondering, like, so what's going to happen? Is he okay? Like, they made it very clear during this injury that he wasn't going to be coming back this season at all. Like, that was made clear. I mean, we saw that. It's not football where it's like, oh, your back hurts. Like, Derek Carr, like, oh, you know what? Oh, you hurt your back? You'll be out 4 weeks. You know what? Derek Carr will be back next week. Then they play bad, and we're like, why is that guy playing bad? Because his spine is different now. And he should not be playing anything. When my back hurts, I can barely put on my socks. So I don't know how a football player fractures something in his back or sprains it and then can play football in a week. Like, I know they're superhuman, but I don't understand how you can get a human to go do that and say, oh, he's fine. Whatever. So, yeah, Gordon Hayward, he's not playing right now, and he shouldn't be because he's hurt. So I was wondering what's been going on with him. And Danny Ainge, the super... let's say mega awesome, like GM of the universe, said this about Gordon Hayward. He's progressing along. He can take the boot off for short periods of time, but he's doing really well. His therapy is going great. He's right on schedule. He's doing sometimes two workouts a day and trying to get stronger. The next phase is getting out of the boot completely. He asks a lot of questions. He's got good people around him. He's diligent in his rehab. So Danny Ainge feels confident that Gordon Hayward is getting better. He's starting to feel himself, you know, and they don't want to rush him back because Nobody wants that. We don't want anybody rushing back. We've seen people rush back before, and it's not a good look. Be confident in your ability. Don't just come back because people want you to come back, and then you're out there playing like you're scared to get hurt, and next thing you know, you're hurt again. So my thing is this. Hopefully he comes back, and it's not like a forever situation where he's just forever, like, whooped, like a Grant Hill, a Penny, a D-Rose situation, one of those. Nobody wants that, especially because they gave him D-Rose money, like a lot of bread. So I would hope that, I think the Celtics are like, yeah, he should come back because we really need him. We hope he gets better. And it's also like, hey, we gave you a lot of guaranteed money, so we kind of need you to, like, play basketball type of thing. So I feel like the Celtics, they want him to come back. And also, he's supposed to play for a bunch of bread. My problem is this. They're playing really, really good. Like, they're in first place. They've lost 5 games. What they won, they end up winning 16 straight. And they're playing really good. And, I mean, yeah, some teams have caught up to them. But still, like, they're playing great. Especially for a team that started off 0-2. My question is, when Gordon Hayward gets back, how's that work? So, like, Kyrie is averaging 21 buckets and 5.5 assists. So he's passing the ball and he's getting 20 buckets a game. Now that he's not, those aren't high assist numbers. So let's say he has the ball a lot. When he's passing the ball, it's because he has to. Because I want to say five assists is like a Kobe assist number. Like, that's, those are like bailout assists, or like someone's wide open, so you have to give him the ball, or else during the replay you're gonna look like, no, you're gonna have replays where people are gonna be like, hey, come on, bro, like, come on, dude. Pass the ball, you know? You don't want replays like that. So if you have him averaging 20, Tatum averaging 14, Al Horford averaging 14, I mean, that gives us what? 18 plus 20, that gives about 40 points. Whoa, that's way off. That's about 50 points together. So when Gordon Hayward comes back, is there gonna be enough ball? That's 50 right there. Then we got a few role player points, a few garbage points, if you will. Like, you know, a few garbage buckets when the ball is just rolling around, happens to get in someone's hand, layup, or a little three-pointer from a random Mitch player. But when Gordon Hayward gets back, as someone that's ball dominant as him, like, will there be enough ball? Are we going to have a OKC situation where there's just not enough ball? Because in OKC, we got Westbrook, we have Carmelo, we have Paul George. They all need the ball. Like, they all need the ball, like 100%. And I want to say Kyrie is like Westbrook with less octane, way less octane, but an incredible scorer, though, like an incredible scorer. And they have to have the ball, like they're ball dominant. Now, when you put someone on the team like Melo, who needs the rock as well, but your point guard always has the ball, like, they're not like Chris Paul, where, okay, I have the rock, but I'm looking to get you points. Like, it's not like, okay, I'm going to get you points. It's not like they wake up and think that. So I'm wondering how the Hayward thing is going to work out when he gets back. I mean, are they going to have to change their whole strategy? Because they're playing great right now. Let's say they go to the conference finals, which I'm going to say they probably will. I mean, they're still pretty young. Maybe the Bucks let them have it. They won't make it to the conference finals. I'm not 100% sure yet. But let's say they make it all to the conference finals. Let's say they make it to the actual finals and they lose. Done. Like, they just take that L. They're like, all right, yeah, next year we'll have Hayward back. How's that work exactly? It's not really a Warriors situation where you got Steph Curry, who's the point guard, but he doesn't mind passing the ball. And when he does pull up, When he does attempt to score and doesn't pass the ball, when he pulls up from the volleyball line, doesn't take that much time off the clock. Why? Because it's like a 3-second possession. You get the ball back. Versus we got somebody with like Kyrie that's going to give you about 27 dribbles, which is fine. And then if he misses that shot, we lost 27 seconds and we not 27 seconds. We lost, I don't know, 20. We lost 19 seconds of the game in that possession. So versus like with Steph Curry, it's like, okay, Durant's here. All right, cool. One more person to pass the ball to get their shot off. That's fine. I don't mind passing the ball. It's fine. The Warriors have a great passing the ball culture, except when Klay and Draymond are feeling themselves, which is fine. That's okay. That's all right. That's how they find their That's how they find their warmth. They find their heat, and they get on fire. I don't really know if Draymond's been on fire that many times, but that's fine because that's him. So when he comes back, what do you do about that? So I don't know if this is a situation. I was even thinking that with OKC, like, oh, OKC got Paul George. Oh, and they got Melo. Wait, word? Wait, how's that going to work? You can't just put names on teams. It doesn't really – you can't just put a name somewhere and just think it'll work itself out. Remember the Lakers 100 years ago when they went and got Karl Malone and Gary Payton? How's that work? Like, Karl Malone is I want to say the second highest scorer, maybe the fourth highest scorer in NBA history. Why? Because he played with John Stockton. John Stockton was trying to get in buckets. Karl Malone goes to the Lakers and is playing with Kobe Bryant and Shaq and Gary Payton. What are you guys doing? You can't just put names on the team. So I'm concerned. I'm concerned about the Gordon Hayward thing. I think he's gonna be fine. I think he's gonna have a really great bounce back, like Paul George, PG-13. Paul George broke his whole. It was gross. The way he landed, his whole leg was just. My hat goes off for these guys because I haven't, when I saw both of these injuries, to me, I'm like, I would have died. If that happened to me in real life, I would have died. For real. I'd have been like, ah, and that would have been it. My leg just folding like that, my leg turning into an L, going from an I to an L, I'd have died. So my hat goes off for them because I don't even know how, or maybe you're just numb from, I'm not sure how it works itself out. But Paul George did it and he bounced back. And hopefully Gordon Hayward bounces back. I think he's going to be fine, though, because they said the recovery is going well. He's rehabbing. They said he's asking a lot of questions, hey, so what's best to do this? How do I get back? What should I be doing for this? And when they say good people around him, I think that means people that aren't in, a rush for him to, come back and play basketball. Versus in some situations, I think players are rushed back in because of a certain situations. Our team is terrible without you, and we have to sell these tickets. You got family members that are like, hey, we trying to go to the game, so we can't really have you just chilling and not getting this bread. It sounds like he's got good people around him. They're like, hey, yo, no rush. In the organization, I know the Celtics gave him a bunch of money, but at the same time, it's like, yo, we're doing fine without you right now. Don't even worry about it, bro. We're good. Sit back. You be all right. It's cool. Don't even worry about it. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a quick break. I'm going to come back and tell you guys. We talked a little bit about OKC during this time, but I'm gonna actually go a little bit further in the depth on that with you. I have some questions to be asked about this whole OKC thing. So stay tuned. Be right back. Thanks.
Are you looking for the very best NFL and college football podcast? Then check out the GSMC Football Podcast. Get the latest football news, both on and off the field. From the NFL draft to trades to the rumor mill to the NFL combines, they got you covered. That's gsmcpodcast.com/football-podcast. Get updates on college rivalries, game day insights, and much, much more. It's football talk the way you want it. This show eats, sleeps, and breathes football. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the GSMC Basketball Podcast with your host, Ryan Holloway, presented by the GSMC Podcast Network to fulfill all of your podcast needs. I was just telling you guys about how the Celtics are on a rampage, still balling, still impressing everyone, still looking way better than any of us actually imagined. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I saw this coming. I'm really not, especially with Gordon Hayward being hurt. My question was, what happens when Gordon Hayward gets back? Because they're playing really good basketball right now. I mean, they're 23-5. Kyrie's getting 21. Tatum's getting 14. Horford's getting 14. Tatum's going to be better next year. He's probably going to be getting 20. maybe 17, who knows. But together, those players are getting 50. Let's say next year they're getting 60. I want to know when Hayward gets back, where's the ball at? Like, how do they get him involved? I know he's a solid defender, but how do they get him involved? And it's probably not a big deal because he's not, like, a selfish player. He's not selfish. He's a good team guy. So, I mean, from what we gather, we haven't heard anything bad about him. He plays for the Jazz. I mean, like, when do you hear stuff about the Jazz players? So I was a little concerned about that, but I think he'll be fine because – well, not be fine as far as coming back, but – I'm sorry. He will be fine coming back because they say he's got good people around him. So there's no rush for him to come back and play, right? Because they're doing really well. He doesn't play for a team that's like, hey, man, please, we need you because – we've lost 40 straight games, and we need you to be in the game. So I think there's not a lot of pressure on him. I know he wants to play for a great team where it's like, yo, this situation's better than I thought it was going to be. Like, I thought I was going to leave the Jazz and come over to the East. I knew playing in the East would be cool because, like, we'd be a big deal. But, man, we're winning games. Oh, I want to play so bad. But at the same time, no one's rushing him because, you know, they're really good. So I think they'll figure that out. My question about that was, would they have an OKC situation when he got back? Like, will there not be enough ball, like, in OKC? So, Carmelo is having, like, I mean, his words, the worst, not the worst, but, yeah, we'll say the worst. Like, he's having a rough stretch. He said it's probably the roughest stretch that he's ever experienced in his career. Right now he's shooting 41% from the field and he's missed 13 of his last 3-point attempts, which isn't necessarily, I don't know if that's like a stat that says he's not shooting well, but, from the missed 13 in a row, I feel like the last time they reported how many someone missed in a row was a while ago during the Suns playoffs. And what's that guy's name? During the Suns playoff. And the guy who plays for the Cavs right now, the bench guy, he was missing like 20 straight threes, like a lot. And he was on the Suns and they were like, hey, what's going on? Like, why are you streaking? Like, what do you think is happening? He's like, oh no, I'll get out of the slump. Like, it'll be okay. And they just did it as like one of those playoff stat kind of things. Channing Frye, that's his name, Channing Frye. And they just did it. Like, it's one of those things like, hey, you've missed this many straight threes. What's going on? And they reported that. They said Carmelo's missed 13 of his last 3-point attempts, which, I mean, I'm not going to say that's not a big deal, but I'm going to say it is when he's shooting 41% from the field. Now, I don't know if he's just out of rhythm because he can't like get the ball to him enough. Because again, like, they have Westbrook. Westbrook's ball dominant. I mean, he's moving the rock. Westbrook could do a triple double, but I just think, for him to have the rock so often and they have Paul George and you got Carmelo to be concerned about, it's like when is he supposed to have the ball? So they interviewed him about it and he said, I think it's just for me. This is a rough stretch for myself personally, probably the roughest that I've had throughout my career. So he knows that he's slumping. It's not one of those things where he's in complete denial, where I actually think that when players admit that, I think that they probably shouldn't. You got to be real with yourself. So if that's how you feel, that's fine. I just think that, you know, you should have like just a vote of confidence. Like, yeah, you know, I'm just a little off right now. I've heard Ray Allen and I've heard Steph Curry say that when they're asked about, hey, are you slumping? Like, what's going on? You're missing some shots. Are you in the slump? Like, no, they're just not going in right now. Everything's going to be fine. I've heard them both say that. Like, there's no such thing as like a slump. I'm just not hitting right now and everything's going to be fine. Like, he's averaging 18 points per game. So, he's getting some buckets, but with him being at 40% from the field, so that's the lowest of his career. Like, just the lowest. And I seriously believe there's probably just not enough ball because he's averaging like 1.5 assists per game. And that's the lowest of his career too. So, like, even when he gets the rock, there's not a lot he can do with it because he's getting the ball for the first time, like, throughout the game. Not throughout the game, but he's getting it, like, sporadically throughout the game. So I feel like if his assists are down and his field goal percentage is down, he doesn't have the ball enough. And the shots he's taking aren't necessarily the shots he wants to take. And the volume isn't there. So I'm just wondering, like, if he's only averaging, let's say, one assist per game, 1.5, then there might be a possibility they might want to, like, have him be in the second lineup. Like, have him come off the bench, like in a Dwayne Wade situation, like in the Cavs. Like, you know, maybe starting isn't going to quite work out for you. We can put you in the second unit, and this way when you get in there, they can have a spark, and we can all just work itself out for the better good. My question is this. Before I blame Melo and just bench him, you know what I mean? I want to know, when does coaching come into play for this? I just want to know, because when – Fizdale got fired because he benched Gasol. Now, him and Gasol were beefing, and they said he was fired because he lost some games. They were streaking, but Conley's hurt, and he benched Gasol, right? And he was fired. Now, I want to know, when we start asking Billy Donovan questions, I want to know, in Billy Donovan's defense, though, I mean, this could be one of those things. Like, if it hasn't come down, if it hasn't come from up high, like, hey, you know, we should bench Melo, so I think we're going to need to bench Melo. Billy Donovan's probably like, yo, I'm not benching anybody because I saw what happened to the last guy who tried to bench someone that was a star here. Mm-mm-mm. Well, not a star here, but a star somewhere else. I don't want any parts of that. I'm not. Mm-mm. Nope. And they've also asked Carmelo multiple times about coming off the bench and does the lineup need to be changed. And he's vehemently been like, no, we don't need to. We need to change the lineup. We don't need to do that. They asked what he's going to do about a shooting slump. He said, you got to continue playing. You got to continue taking the shots that you normally make, that you know you can make. Just being confident with that. Don't let the missed shots and the inefficiency on the offensive end and for myself as an individual affect you moving forward. So, again, he's honest about it. I want to know when we stop. When the blame comes off of him, because here's the thing. Like, so I'm going to tell you guys something. Check this out. The Lakers right now are 9-15. Okay. And there's a lot of pressure on them to, like, be better and be over 500 because of the Lakers and the whole Lonzo Ball situation. OKC is 12-13. They're not being talked about anywhere near as much as the Lakers. And I kind of think, I believe OKC might be getting the pass. They might be getting the pass just because Russell Westbrook got MVP last year, and I feel like they're still the – I wish I had an appropriate way to say what I want to say about OKC being – I don't have a way to say it. But I feel like OKC is looked at still as the Cavs were looked at after LeBron left. Like, oh, poor Cavs. Oh, they're the – I want to say – what do I want to say? There's a word I want to say. I want to say something child. I want to say that, but I can't. You guys get the gist, though. And I feel like they're being coddled because, like, yo, oh, Durant left, and they're still figuring things out. So, you know, Durant put them in a bad situation. No, they're getting a pass. They got Carmelo, they have Paul George, and they have Westbrook. They're reigning MVP all on the same team. And they're 13. They're 12-13? Really? Come on. Really? And we're just going to sit here just pretending everything's okay. And what gets me is that they're not doing well at all, and we're not going to talk about it, and we're going to say they're working things out or whatever. I think we're past working things out because they're below 500. I'm going to tell you all the teams that are doing better than them right now. Are you guys ready for this? You guys ready? All right, check this out. The Nuggets, the Timberwolves, the Trailblazers, the Pelicans, no surprise there, and the Jazz. The Jazz lost their star player over the offseason. Rudy Gobert is also hurt. The Oklahoma City Thunder are in ninth place. They're actually one game ahead of the Lakers. Now, if the Lakers make the playoffs and OKC doesn't, I think something needs to be talked about. This can't just be one of those situations where it's like, oh, well, Melo did it. Oh, Melo, it's all Melo's fault. Obviously. No. That's not how this works. We don't get to say, oh, well, Carmelo wasn't winning on the Knicks, so now he's on OKC and he's a black cloud. No, he's not a cloud. He's not Eeyore. He's not Linus with some dirty blanket. No, this situation right here is a brand new situation. I'm going to say we got to start looking at coaching. If someone has to be benched, so be it. Tell that man he's got to come off the bench. If someone's got to tell something to Westbrook, so be it. go tell something to Westbrook. We can't just have this whole, oh, well, it's Melo's fault because when he was on the Knicks, they didn't do well. Nah, man, nah, does no. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't. And I don't really know if Billy Donovan is in a situation to tell Russell Westbrook anything. It might be kind of hard to be like, hey, look, Russ, I need you to see if you can get Carmelo involved a little bit more. So this is what we need to do. I'm not sure how you do that with Westbrook, like, getting the MVP last year and him being there longer than Billy Donovan and Westbrook just getting the extension for $250 million. I don't really know if you can, like, just tell him, hey, here's the thing. I'm going to need you to, like, force the ball upon him. Just force it and force it to him, and we can make him feel a little better about his shot, and then we can find the way. I don't know if that's something that you can do. I'm not sure if that's how you speak to Russell Westbrook. I just know that when Scott Brooks was there and they had James Harden, Kevin Durant, and Russell Westbrook, and they're like, all right, we're going to have James Harden on the bench, and we're going to have him come off, and that way he can be sixth man of the year. And it's like, okay, so, and they said it was because he's a defensive liability and all this stuff. And it's like, so you just don't know how to start them, or you don't know how to coach all of them at the same time? Like, it just, that seems like a cop out to me. Like, I don't, you can't figure that out to make that cohesive, so that you can just keep three Olympians and you're up in the draft back to back to back together. You can't figure that out. There's no way. So, and then James Harden walked and they fired Scott Brooks. Within this situation, I think you may have to reevaluate doing the same thing. Like, Billy Donovan's going to have to figure out a new lineup change something. The Cavs did it. I mean, Carmelo and Dwayne Wade were drafted in the same draft. Yeah, same draft. So, I mean, and I get it. Like, I mean, maybe Carmelo might be on this hype where he feels like, you know, he still feels like he's good as LeBron. Maybe that's what it could be. Who knows? But this whole, we're just going to keep just rolling the ball out there and they're going to figure it out because we have three good players on the same team. Nah. It doesn't work that way. Someone's got to tell him, hey, man, we've been doing some thinking. And at this point, what we're going to need from you, we're going to need you to come off the bench. We're just going to try something new. And that's what we're going to do. You're going to come up with the second unit, and it's going to be your unit to just do whatever you want to do. And I feel like if you have him come off the bench, it'd be like a Jamal Crawford situation when he used to come off the bench with that second unit for the Clippers, and he would come in and just ball, just give buckets. Or even Monte Ellis off the bench for the Pacers. One of those situations where you get the backup guard to come in. You get the, well, in this situation, he's a forward, but whatever. You get the guard to come in, and he just does whatever he wants to do. Doesn't have to worry about passing the ball to anybody else. Doesn't have to worry about finding his shot, finding his lane. Just put him in. Let him go microwave. And then take him out. Let's just do that. Let's give it a try. Because this whole thing you guys are doing, it's not working. He doesn't have the ball enough. We've never known Carmelo to be a prolific passer. However, if his assists are down, like almost a whole assist, his assists are down a whole assist, like per game based on his like career numbers. And he's averaging, and he's getting 40% from the field, which is the lowest he's ever shot from the field. He needs the ball more. And I don't blame him for needing the ball more, because that's why you guys got him, is to get him the ball more. So either speak to Russell Westbrook about getting him the ball more, or find a way to get him more involved, cutting whatever, or bench him. It's that simple. He's even shooting 22, I believe they said it was 22 free throws per 100 possessions, which is analytic stat, which I don't mind the whole analytic stats. I'm not with the whole discrimination of certain stats thing. They're all numbers. Some numbers are better than others. I don't have a problem with what numbers people use. I think that debate is stupid, but I'm with it. So 23 free throws per 100 possessions, which means, and that's as low as he's ever had. I would say that means he's not getting the ball enough. So he needs the ball. I mean, maybe the conversation needs to be this. Hey, look, we got to get you the ball. Westbrook can't get you the ball while he's on the court starting. So we're going to get you the ball by having you come off the bench. And then when you come off the bench, you could play your game. That'd be it. That's just what it's going to have to be. But somebody is going to have to swallow their pride. I don't know who. Someone's going to have to. But it's not gonna It's gonna be an interesting conversation. It's gonna be, because Billy Donovan's gonna say, "Oh, okay, I'm gonna have to do this." He's gonna have to talk to him. And Melo's gonna be like, "Jeez, I got this personal situation, and I don't really want to not start. I've been starting my whole life. So, is there anything else we could just do about it?" Then Billy Donovan gotta go and talk to Westbrook. "Hey, is there a way you could just get him the ball more? Can we?" And Westbrook's gonna say, "I get everyone involved all the time." And how do you argue with that? You know, that's what he's going to say, right? I wonder what Paul George would say. He's just going to be Paul George. Just pull up, have that lineup, just keep pulling. Like, "Hey, I got this new leg. I'm good. I'm playing D. I'm dunking on everybody. It's fine." I don't think Paul George has any problems with it. So, yeah, I mean, that's where we're at with that. So, I mean, I wish Billy Donovan the best of luck with that conversation. Good luck to him, because that's not a situation that I want to be in if I'm Billy Donovan. So hopefully they figure that thing out, because if OKC makes the playoffs, if OKC doesn't make the playoffs, that's going to be the worst. Might be the worst situation ever. Also, it's not even like Billy Donovan has anything to lose, right? Because I guess he does, because I don't really see Paul George staying there. I don't know if Carmelo's going to stay there. Both of them are on like these whole 1 year deal things, right? Now, maybe Billy Donovan doesn't want to rub anyone the wrong way because he wants them to stay, but at the same time, if they don't make playoffs, why would they want to stay there? So, I mean, it might be, I don't want to make it so definite and finite and really, and speak of it like it's so simple, because it's not. It's really not that simple. I won't front. It's not super easy to do. This isn't an easy situation. But something's got to be done about it, right? Because if you leave the milk out, it's going to get spoiled. I just made that up right now. Well, I didn't make up milk spoiling, but like saying that statement, like the way I said it and like dropping the mic, I just made that up. And I think that might be my new thing. You leave the milk out, it's going to get spoiled. That means you got to put the milk in the fridge. So this obvious decisions have to be made is the point of that quote that I just made up. You guys can take that, use it wherever you want to use it, and that's 100% fine. It's subjective. It can mean whatever you need it to mean. I am going to take a quick break. When I get back, I'm going to tell you guys about Kobe's coaching, how Kobe feels about what the Lakers got popping right now. Yeah. Oh, you want to hear about what Kobe has to say about it, right? Who doesn't want to hear what retired Kobe Bryant has to say? Who doesn't want to hear that? Especially when he has such a high opinion of how rookies should be playing, which I get it. It's Kobe. Kobe system, mama mentality, all that stuff. You sit tight. I'll be right back.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the GSMC Basketball Podcast with your host, your absolute favorite host, Ryan Holloway, presented by and brought to you on the GSMC Podcast Network to fulfill all of your podcasting needs. So, if you guys weren't here, I was just talking to you about the Melo situation. I don't really know. No, I know. I know what we're going to do about that. I just don't know when they're going to do it. Someone's got to man up. Not man up. That's not the right word. Someone's got to put on their big boy pants. I guess that's a better quote. Someone's got to put on their big boy pants. That's a better cliche, I mean. Put on their big boy pants, and we're going to have some conversations. Billy Donovan has to go talk to Westbrook, Or Billy Donovan has to go talk to Melo. And then Melo's got to put on his big boy pants and say, hey, you know what? I think I probably should come off the bench. Something like that. Because based on the stats, from what I can see, it looks like Melo doesn't have the ball enough. So either Westbrook has to give him the ball faster, give up some possessions, or Carmelo's got to come off the bench and just, you know, just microwave it. There was a player called Vinny the Microwave. He used to play for the Pistons. And back in the day, and he would come off the bench and he would heat things up. So they call him the microwave. So yeah, he'd come off the bench, he'd microwave it, because right now, just solely based on what's happening with them as a staff, record label, and the crew, they're getting a pass from the NBA because Durant left them a while ago, and like we still feel really bad for them, so we're going to give them a pass. Even though they lightweight like attempted to build a super team, but it's not quite working out. It's only been, what, let's say like 30 games, give or take, about 30, 25 games. So we're a little bit under 33% of the season. Wait, that's not right. Yeah, under 33%, under one third. So I'm going to say it's time to panic. Why? Because they're in ninth place. And if you're in ninth place, that means if the playoffs started today, you wouldn't make it. And I want to say that as of right now, the way the climate of the NBA looks, I'm going to tell you guys that not a lot's going to change going forward. That's a lie. I just blatantly lied to you guys. I'm sorry. When I say not a lot's going to change, I mean, as far as like the shifting of things and where people are placed at. So all the teams that are going to make the playoffs today, it would be debatable, like as far as like the bottom goes. So let's say, for example, in the East, in the bottom, you got the Heat. We got the Knicks and we got the Pistons. They're all hovering in between 7, 8, and 9. That can change. I believe in the East, I believe there's more room for, let's say, surprises and like bubbling around than there are in the West. Because in the West, I believe that once things start moving, we're going to have like a large amount of separation between the good, the bad, and the ugly. Let's just say the great and the ugly. I think that we're going to see that break apart a little bit more. Because right now, we got the Jazz in eighth place. Hovering around that bottom, we got Jazz, OKC, and the Lakers. Now, the Clippers lost Blake Griffin. So they're going to fall far below 500. We're going to have that vast separation right there. And OKC probably isn't going to make the playoffs because of all the pressure that we're giving the Lakers to either make the playoffs this year or just blow up the whole franchise and blow up LA and just put it in the ocean, ship it to Hawaii and say, hey, Hawaii, take LA. Cause that's the type of pressure that LA is under. LA was just put under more pressure by the ambassador. Well, the second, I guess the junior ambassador of LA, which would be Kobe, cause the ambassador is Magic Johnson. And then the junior ambassador would be Kobe. Yeah, let's say that. I'm going to say the junior ambassador is Kobe Bryant. Why, you may ask? Well, because he's Kobe Bryant. Like, duh. So he's the ambassador of the Lakers. He was asked about Lonzo. I'm surprised he wasn't asked about Lonzo Ball earlier. Like, maybe when the story got kind of old, they're like, all right, when can we get a Kobe quote? When can we get a Kobe quote? They're like, not yet. Wait for it. And they waited for the perfect time to get a Kobe quote. Kobe basically was told, Kobe basically said they don't have time to wait for the Lakers to get better, which I don't really understand what that means. But he said they don't have time to wait for them to get better. He said Randle's got to get better. Kuzma got to get better. Lonzo, they all have to get better now. There's no waiting to get better, which honestly, like looking at them play, it seems like that's literally what we have to do is wait for them to get better. I mean, similar to B.I. Yes, I call Brandon Ingram B.I. because I think it's clever, because he's not big like B.I.G., but he's slender. So B.I. because he's not big. And those are his initials, B.I. It makes sense to me. People are going to start calling him that. I think it's a fire nickname. Anyhow, B.I. got better and he looks good now. And it's going to take time, but Kobe had this to say. We never thought, okay, we're going to win 4 years from now. We really thought, this is our year. We're going to get this done. We're going to push, 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 get better now. And in the process of having that kind of impatience, you develop. If you're just patiently going about it, you'll never get there. For players, it's kind of patient impatience. Now, Kobe has this commercial. Kobe used to have this commercial in the Kobe system. He's talking to Kanye West. And then Kanye West basically is like, yo, but how do I get more successful? He's like, more successful. Sell more records. And then Kanye's like, but how do I? But I've done everything there is to do. And Kobe said, are you the same animal? But are you the same beast, but a different animal? And Kanye was like, what do you beep mean, Kobe Bryant? And Kobe's like, you're welcome. That's kind of what this says. I'm going to read this to you again. He says, we get better now. And in the process of having that kind of impatience, you develop. If you're just patiently going about it, you'll never get there. For players, it's kind of a patient impatience. So are you saying to like practice now to be better later? Because I think that's what they mean. Like when Kobe literally said, we never thought, okay, we're going to win 4 years from now. But that's literally like kind of what happened. Like Kobe's first year in the league, when he was like coming up, when he wasn't an impact player. For those of you that don't know this, that's where Kobe's the best player ever. And he was like, he was born in the image of Michael Jordan. That's not how this happened. Kobe's rookie year, he started six times. He averaged like 15 minutes per game. He had 7 points a game, two rebounds, and 1.3 assists. So, like, I don't know if Kobe was on the Lakers. Like, yo, like this is our year. I don't know. I don't really know if that's true. I don't know if when he was a rookie and he was playing and he started six games, he was like, oh, this is our year. I'm not sure if that's true. I don't know. I'm not one to be inside of Kobe's mind, but Kobe kind of sounds like that old guy who was like, hey, back in my day when we played football, we didn't even wear helmets. We didn't even wear them. We didn't wear helmets. We didn't even have shoes. We just played in sweatpants and tank tops. That's how we played football back in my day. We didn't even have a baseball. We played with a cinder block. We played with a whole cinder block in the street because there wasn't grass back then. There were just streets. Wait, how was there no streets? Don't question me, young man. Don't question me. We played in the streets because there wasn't grass. But I thought grass had always been around. So how could you not? You can't ask OGs any questions. I feel like that's what Kobe's doing right now. Just high-siding and stunting. Talking about, yeah, I mean, when I was a Laker, like, we just always thought we were going to win. I don't really know if that's the mentality that you had when you first came in, Kobe, because when Kobe first came to the league, he was a rapper. So I don't really know if he was, like 100% focused on basketball. He was banging on people. People were getting dunked on left and right. And when Kobe got there, they didn't really have Shaq yet. So who am I to say what Kobe Bryant is thinking? I don't really know. I just think that he might want to be like a little bit not softer on them, but you know, just not, I don't even want to say make more sense, but you know, just make more sense. I mean, don't tell them that like if you're just patiently going about it, you'll never get there. But for players, it's kind of a patient impatience. Like, it's going to take some time because they're not going to win the championship this year. They're not going to win it next year. They're not going to win it in 3 years. They're probably not going to win a championship maybe until, let's say, 2023, maybe, give or take, just because there's so many teams that are better than them, and they have to make the playoffs this year. And then when they do make the playoffs, they're going to get dogged out of the playoffs because that's usually how that works when you're brand new in the playoffs. So I would say literally be patient with them. Fans, be patient. Players, they've been playing this long to get better. I feel like if you're out there every single night, like low-key getting dogged every night, and you're forced to play every night, and you're forced to get better, which is what they're doing. Like, I mean, Lonzo's starting, so he's only going to get better. Kobe said this thing one time. He was talking about, like, if you want to do something, you have to practice. He talked about being a basketball player. He's like, if you want to be a basketball player, say if I woke up at 9 in the morning and then went to train until, I don't know, 11 o'clock, then ate lunch, and then went back to train from, I don't know, like 3 to 5, and then ate, you know, rested, then went back to train from 7 to 10. That's three sessions, right? But if I got up at 5 in the morning and then went to train from, let's say, 5 to 8, and went and ate breakfast and went to train from 9 to 12, rested, then rested again, then went to play from 2 to 5, then blah, 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 blah. He basically talks about how if you wake up earlier in the day and you can get 4 sessions in instead of 3, by the time the summer comes around, nobody can catch up with you because you've been training so hard. And if you look at the numbers, this is kind of what's happening with Lonzo, because Kobe averaged 15 minutes per game, and he started 6 times. Lonzo is playing every game. He's starting every single game. So, like, he's don't get me wrong, I don't really know. I can't tell you how much Lonzo's training versus how much Kobe was training, like, when he first got in the league. But, like, Lonzo is getting more game reps than Kobe was getting in. Like, so if Kobe was averaging 15 minutes his first season and Lonzo is averaging 26 minutes his first season. No, I'm sorry, 32 minutes. Lonzo's averaging 32 minutes. So he's playing double what Kobe played his first season. And he's averaging 8 points a game, 7 assists, 9 rebounds, 1.4 steals in 24 games. I mean, yeah, he's like only shooting like 30% from the field, but that'll all change. But he's getting more game reps. So if he's getting more game reps, now I feel like he is being patient. I feel like he is being patiently impatient about it, as Kobe would say. And they're forcing him out there to play the game. They're making him play, and he's going to get better. So I don't know if Kobe wants him to like get inside of a time machine and then drive it slow, or get in a car and then pretend it's a time machine. I'm not really sure what he wants from them, but patient impatience kind of makes sense. I don't know. I'm gonna think about that. We'll figure it out. I'm gonna think about that because somewhere within like Kobe's Jedi mind tricks of like Kobe things, it makes sense somewhere. I just don't know where yet. So while I think about that and hurt my head, I'm going to take a quick break. I need you guys to stay where you're at, because when I get back, I'm going to give you the game of the night. I'm going to tell you about like some incredible performers from last night that I don't even know if you guys knew what was happening in NBA last night, but buckets were to be had last night. Buckets were to be had. And if you missed that, it's okay. It's okay, because I'm going to give you guys a little bit of game, what you've been missing out on. And with that, don't go anywhere, because I'm gonna try to figure out this Kobe patient impatience thing. It's kind of hurting my head a little bit. But the more and more I think about it, it's starting to make sense. It's kind of like it's probably because Kobe said it. It's like if someone lets you listen to a song and you're like, man, that song sucks. You keep listening to it over and over again, and they're like, nah, man, but listen to this part. You're like, oh, you know what? This song's kind of cool. Only because you heard it like 60 times and you were forced to hear it 60 times on the radio because you're working the warehouse and that song comes on 5 times every 4 hours. And I just had a flashback to when I worked in the warehouse. Sorry about that, guys. I'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the extreme cage fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen.
It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to. The Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
Welcome back to the GSMC Basketball Podcast with your host, Ryan Holloway, presented to you by the GSMC Podcast Network to fulfill all your podcast needs. In case you guys missed it, Kobe Bryant said that the young guys on the Lakers needs to have a patient type of impatience when it comes to getting better. I thought about that a lot during the commercial break, trying to get it figured out and what it means. And I think that it means be ambitious while on your journey. I think that's what it means. I think that's what it means. Because I read this quote over and over again, and I was just kind of confused by it because it's Kobe. And sometimes Kobe does Jedi things. And he said, and in the process of having that kind of impatience you develop. If you're patiently going about it, you'll never get there. For players, it's kind of a patient impatience. So be patient, but be impatient about it. You know, so I guess what that means basically is like if you have really high ambitions, don't let anyone tell you that like your ambitions are too high because it's part of impatience. But be patient, though, you know. Does that make sense to you yet? Hey, it will. Anyway, let me tell you about some outstanding performances from the other night. Victor Oladipo had 47 points. He's on the Pacers and he's balling. He was involved in the Paul George trade let go thing, and he's been on the Pacers putting up buckets, pure buckets. Also, your man's James Harden had, of course, 48 points with the Rockets' ninth win in a row. The Rockets have won 9 games in a row, and this hasn't. This is not a thing. We haven't heard about this. This isn't something that we've been hearing about a lot, and I'm confused as to why the Rockets are not on everyone's radar. But I get it. They're just keeping it real low, keeping it real smooth. But you must know that Chris Paul's on a winning team. Why? Because the State Farm commercials are back. And once they snuck those State Farm commercials back in there, you already know Chris Paul must be balling. Also, the Raptors have won 6 straight games. The NBA is coming at you, the NBA is coming at your face right now. It's really going down. Porzingis had 30 the other night. We already know where this is going. Also, I want to ask a question about something. I want to know why is it that ever since Zach Randolph got traded from the Grizzlies to the Kings, he's been posterized a lot. I've seen a lot of pictures of him just like leaning on people and like getting embarrassed. And he's a vet. He doesn't deserve those type of photographs. So whoever's in charge of taking these embarrassing Zach Randolph photos of somebody making a layup over him and touching the top of his head, I don't like it. He's a vet. He deserves to be treated better. And I didn't see this stuff when he played for the Grizzlies. And I'm seeing more of him now. I don't know if the media has like a bias against the Kings and just likes embarrassing Kings players. Is that what it is? I don't know if he just got more respect when he played with the Grizzlies. I'm not sure either. Or maybe it's just because the Kings lose a lot of games and we take a lot of pictures of the Kings in game situations and they lose a lot of games. Maybe that's just the odds. It could be that too. I'm not 100% sure at this time. However, whoever's in charge, have some respect for Zach Randolph. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and give you guys the game of the night along with the pick of the night. Are you ready? Okay, check this out. Tonight, I want you guys to watch Golden State versus Portland. Why, you might ask? Well, Damian Lillard always goes off against the Warriors. Always. Want to know why? Because Damian Lillard is from the town. In case you didn't know what the town is, that's Oakland. He's from the Bay Area. And when he goes there, has a blast. Why? Because his city, and he gets buckets there. So watch that game because Damian Lillard is going to put on a show. If you haven't seen Damian Lillard play, I don't know what you've been doing. I don't know what you've been doing, but he's going to put on a show and he gets buckets. And when him and Steph Curry go up against each other, it's usually a problem. Steph Curry isn't playing, by the way, because he's still got that whole ankle thing going on with his ankle. So watch that game. Please do. Damian Lillard, he's averaging 26 buckets a game, so he's going to get buckets. It's going to be really nice. He does a great job getting to the cup. I'm going to give you guys a game of the night as well. Also, you know what? This is kind of a playoff preview because the Warriors are going to end up playing the Trailblazers in the playoffs. That's just going to happen. And they have great games with each other. Just watch it. That's really all there is to it. That's all there is to it. As far as the pick of the night, are you guys ready for this? Are you guys ready? All right, listen. I'm gonna just take Miami with the points in Memphis, because Memphis is still struggling, and I'm gonna take Miami with points all day long. The reason I think you just take Miami is because I think they're being undervalued in the situation, just because it's a road game and because they're 12-13, which means they're under 500 to the oddsmakers. But they don't have time to watch the games. They don't have time to know that the Heat are on their way, and they just think the Grizzlies are probably still the Grizzlies. So yeah, if I were you, I would go ahead and take the Heat plus one. The Heat with points, boy, you better stop. So you guys heard it here first. Lillard in the town tonight at the Oracle Center, and you're gonna take the Heat plus one bucket. Got it? All right, cool. I'm gonna check back in with you guys Wednesday, see how that went. If you won some bread, go ahead and slide me that bread. If you lost some money, then, you know, long as you didn't bet your kid's college fund or bet your mortgage payment for next month, then it's going to be fine. It's just money. You'll get it back. Anyway, you guys could be anywhere in the world right now, but you're here with me, and I appreciate that. This has been the GSMC Podcast with your favorite host, Ryan Holloway, presented by the GSMC Podcast Network. For all your podcasting needs, live long, prosper, watch out for potholes.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.